So what can I say about Reverend Dr. Kathy Hearn that hasn't already been said? I mean, really. She's a friend. She's a colleague. She's the dean of the School of Spiritual Leadership in Encinitas. And she's the most amazing minister I have ever met. Please welcome my minister, the Reverend Dr. Kathy Hearn.
Reverend Patty amazes me every time she says that. Takes me right in. Thank you so much. And doesn't she look beautiful? Wow. I'm inspired. Well, good morning. It's good to see all of you. Just take you in for a moment. John Kirko said I was coming home when I come here. Or I am coming home. Hold on. Some emotion in this talk for me today, so just in case I have a blank out. Anyway, I'm delighted to be here with all of you, and I'm so very happy to speak into this theme of hearts of service. And I want to just touch into the idea that service is self-givingness, but in both senses of the word, that it's the giving that we do of ourself, giving of ourself to people. But I found that in the willingness to give of myself, I'm so given to. That really service that seems so selfless sometimes and feels that way and that feels good is one of the most selfish things we can do. And so one of the earliest teachings that I learned about service was this, and it came from Reverend Sandy Scott, who some of you know from back in the day. And she said, she's my Prac 1 teacher, and she said, the way out of pain is through service. And that seemed very true to me, and I was a brand new student, and I was eating up the principles, and by golly, I was going to be teachable. And so, which I encourage ministerial students to be as well, it makes it a lot easier. So I started volunteering, and I started volunteering at Terry Cole Whitaker's ministry in the office, and then I ended up being in youth ministry, and because of all of that, I'm standing here in front of you today. And so it's a long, well, thank you. I think it's cool. and you have your own stories of what service has done for you. The value of doing that was I got to get out of myself and my self-absorption. And I was in pain. And the pain was lack of self-expression. In fact, I used to stand up in front of people and start crying, so I'm a little bit better these days at that. I've had a lot of practice. But also I had the opportunity through volunteering to get involved with people and principals in a project that was thrilling to me. And so I got to get involved at a level that I couldn't be paid for because I didn't have any skills. And again, here I am today. So the thought that I have is that whenever we have a constriction in life and in anywhere in the top four, you know, health, relationship, finances, or career, that's a reflection of a constriction that we have on the inside, because everything flows from the inner to the outer. And service becomes, well, that constriction, I think, can be a fear, and it can be some belief that there's something broken or something missing on the inside, and therefore there's a withholding. And if there's a withholding on the inside, there's going to be a withholding on the outside. Because it's only what we can put out in the world that can come back to us. That's the reciprocal nature. Makes sense to you? So that's the way it goes. And service becomes one of the extraordinary ways that we can practice the giving, the loving and the giving. And even if we don't do it for this, it ends up coming back to us. And I have a couple of stories for you about that. So service is a wonderful way to practice. Thomas Troward, old-time metaphysician, greatly influenced Ernest Holmes, says that one of the reasons why we have problems with supply is that we don't know the richness of our inner being. And if we don't know the richness of our inner being, then we can't give from it. And he said, you must see yourself as a distribution center. And all he didn't say these words, but I'll say them, of talents, skills, sensitivities, and sensibilities. See yourself as a distribution center that you joyfully give from. And then what's implied is that you joyfully receive all that you need to keep the giving going. And that's how the reciprocal nature of the universe works. And again, I will say that serving, volunteering, whatever you're called to do, is one of the ways to practice that loving and giving, so that loving and giving can come to you in just the right way at just the right time. So I want to share with you two stories. And it's two stories of conversations that I had this week. And I always pay attention to see what spirit dishes up for me before I'm going to deliver a talk. Because more often than not, it's something that I'm supposed to share, or at least have the opportunity to share. Patty knows exactly how that is. And so the first story concerns people that some of you may know, and that's Barry and Nancy Stevens. Some of you know them. And the Stevens, we just had a long conversation on the phone. They have been living in Costa Rica for 15 years. And they went there to start a study group in the conventional science of mind kind of model. But what they've ended up doing is serving the indigenous people of their area called the Bribris. And they are people who live way below the poverty line, under $2 a day for the entire family. And Nancy described them as violently unhappy people. There's a lot of incest. There are very early pregnancies with the young daughters of the families. I'll leave the details to you to figure out. And so there are people that have really had a hard time. So the two main works that the Stevens have done is they started a food program and they started a school program. But the way it happened was really interesting. Nancy was married to somebody else. And she happened to be in Costa Rica, I guess, visiting. I didn't get that part of the details. But she found herself on the shore of a lake. And sitting there, she said, I have to live here. And she came back to the U.S. Her marriage fell apart. She met Barry. On the first date, she said, I'm moving to Costa Rica. And I guess he liked the idea. So they got married, and they moved there. She was lucky. That was easy. That was easy. And they did start the study group. They realized that for them, they were in paradise, and they wanted to start giving back to the community there. The property that they selected is on a trail that the Bribris travel. And so they took it into prayer. Barry put it this way. He said, we went into prayer and asked for guidance on what we could do to help here, and all good broke loose. And so one day, Nancy had a pot of soup on the stove, and she noticed this man going through the trash, and she fed him. And pretty soon, he brought his family. And then more people came, and more people came, and suddenly they had a food program. And then another day, a mother brought her young child and asked for help in having this child get to school. And so now they serve 167 students with uniforms and notebooks and supplies and also books. And interestingly, the books have to be bought every year because it's so wet there they dissolve. Amazing. And those kids are now going to 32 different schools. So what I love about, well, wait, there's more. The more is that their work has gotten to be known, and they had 300 volunteers come from all over the world to serve last year. And also, they're in discussions with people from different countries about how to set up a global training center for volunteers. And the very first one would be located right where they are in Costa Rica. And they're also in discussions, that's the second story. Peru and Kenya, and possibly for Nigeria, to duplicate what they're doing at El Puente. And so what I love about their story is that they listened to spiritual guidance. Nancy did. Her partner agreed. And they began to serve who showed up. Just one step at a time, one person at a time, answering a need. And you know, when we do that, Spirit will use us for a mighty work. And there's no way to predict or know exactly how that will be. So that's one story for you. So my second story concerns a friend of mine. And in the middle of an ordinary day, this friend had a stroke. And this was a couple of weeks ago. And he had started the day with some yoga inversions. It was a really hot day. He went to check on his neighbor next door, and an elderly woman who he knew was sitting in her sweltering home with no windows open, so he went to check on her. And then various things proceeded through the rest of the day. By the way, I went to visit him, and we were sitting at the top level of his beautiful two-story home, a seating area right outside his bedroom, looking out over the pool and over the hills that go to the bay and out to the ocean, and it was getting to be sunset time. And so as we talked and he shared, and the energy multiplied, the sun was setting. It was beautiful. And so in the middle of other things to do that day, he started feeling strange. And he noticed that he couldn't walk in a straight line. And so he got in the car to drive from where he was to get home. And then he thought, very smartly, if I can't walk, I probably shouldn't be driving. And so he pulled over and called his dear friend, who is a nurse, and she came to get him. His husband got involved, of course, in the calls and all of that. And a decision, and you know what he did? He chewed an aspirin. Note to self, I'm just learning, aspirin will save your life, so I'm going to go buy some at CVS today, just to be prepared for something so it doesn't have to happen, right? So they made the decision to go to Mercy Hospital. And as they went there, suddenly my friend started to be taken care of by the loving and giving heart that the Sisters of Mercy have really established at that hospital. And I did work there in the past visiting people with HIV, so I know some of the atmosphere there. You got to figure the energies in the presence of Jesus and Mother Mary are there. Got to figure. So what is, and so he began to be taken care of. Now, what is meaningful to me about this story is that he used to work at Mercy, and he worked there for 16 years, leaving there in 2004. And his job, he was the first advanced practical psych nurse, and his role was to help people with behavioral / psych problems with their medical issues. And he established that program for Mercy, and then when Mercy merged with Scripps, he established it throughout the Scripps system. And what that means is that he loved and he touched countless lives there. And all of a sudden, he's back in that hospital being loved and touched by some of the people that he loved and touched in the past in a full circle kind of way. Can you feel it? And also what was interesting is early on, he was on a committee that set the protocol and the program for code stroke. Did I say it right? Code stroke, which is how to deal with early signs of a stroke. And there he was, and that protocol kicked in for him. And so he's actually here today, and I'm letting him be anonymous. And all of the people that I mentioned are here as well. So I'll let you figure it out. A teacher of mine early on called it being prayed ahead. When all of the spiritual work that we've done and the prayer is there for us at the time that we need it. And what I see in this story is that the good that we do returns to us in surprising ways. But there's even something more in the song that Andy and the gang just sang, spoke to this to me too. And that is, as he and I spoke, he started sharing about how for the 5 nights that he was in the hospital, he would wake up between 3 and 4 in the morning. And that is known as the hour of the wolf. It is the time that many people pass. We heard that with Cindy's friend, so bless her. And it is a time when our fears can come up. But what happened for my beloved friend is that he began to feel held by presences, angels, light, love, whatever you want to call it. He described it as being in the middle of a cotton swab. So I, you know, can see light, filament, that kind of thing. And being loved and sustained and held for 5 nights in a row at the hospital. And interestingly, a friend of his had passed just a little bit before, and he was having conversations with her, and she said, "You're going to be fine. It's not your time." And as the love and the energy and this holding presence was there, he said, "Why don't people know about this?" meaning what's on the other side of the veil. And he said because the voice or the answer was because they'd want to come here before their time. And so the two things that are precious to me about this are this cycle turn, the return to us of the blessings that we give, not that we did the giving in order to receive the blessings, but just that that's the way life works. And that the good that we do comes back to us in some important way. And this also this idea that beyond the veil, which sometimes gets so very thin, I felt that in the HIV days. It was just like these guys were here and then they popped over to the other side. So amazing. And Ernest Holmes, by the way, once said, "I've met far too many people at their own memorial services to think that death is the end of life." So anyway, apropos of nothing. But so if that is the truth, and on the other side there is this love and this light and this holding, of what have we to be afraid? There was something about it that just made life seem so very beautiful and so very precious to me. And so I don't know what you might get from this. The intention here is to support you in your service, that you let yourself have a heart of service that sees where you are in any given moment and who's there in front of you, and whatever way you choose to be in the encounter, you let it be an encounter of service. From your heart to that heart. Loving the divine self that you are, giving from that divine self, seeing the divine self that is in front of you, giving to that divine self. And then receiving the exchange, whatever that might be. So, the loving and the giving that we do, that moves from us, leads to the loving and giving that we receive. And the good that we do in a selfless kind of way is the very good that can show up for us in a way we could never predict or know or say would happen. So I'm on my way weekend after next to Sonoma to do a wedding. My daughter's wedding was in Sonoma. I'm back in Sonoma to do the wedding this time. And some of you know Mark Jobson, who is a singer who's in San Diego, and he's getting married. So I'm doing his wedding. Yay, Mark. And so he has this beautiful statement in his ceremony. "The path of the pilgrim is the path to a heart that expands and does not constrict. The path of a pilgrim is the path to a heart that expands and does not constrict. Let us each keep opening our hearts, and after that, opening our hearts, and again, and again, and again." And so let's take a moment and go within. And so I know that the place where we stand is holy ground. I know that we each are centered in the holy ground of our own being, and we're centered on the ground that we make holy by the presence of God that is all around us and within us. And I think it is quite marvelous and amazing that once again on a Sunday, across time and space, we've all been called together to be together for exactly the experience that is taking place. And so knowing the one life of God that is my life, the life of each one of us here, and the life of all beings everywhere, I speak my word, first of all, on behalf of my beloved friend who was so gracious to let me share his story today. Knowing absolutely that the divine wholeness that is within him is what is in action through every single part of his mind and his body, his life, and that there is a beautiful pathway of unfoldment to fullness, the full expression of that wholeness from inside out. And I absolutely know that. And I give thanks for the life that he has lived to give so fully that he could be given to at such an important time. And so this good that I am knowing for him, I know for each and every one of us. And if you have somebody in your heart that needs a special prayer today, just put your hand on your heart for a moment and think of that person. Let us know that he or she, too, is feeling that loving, embracing, lifting presence that is the reality that is all around us, the one life of God that is good. And so I know for each one of us that we are led and guided in the service that we are called to do. Mother Teresa may have said this, but a website says she didn't. Something about small acts done with great love. I like it. Works for me. Some of us are called to do really big things and projects in the world, and we honor that. and others of us live our life on a daily basis, just loving and giving. And so I accept for each one of us that the heart of service is full and strong, and that in the giving there is a receiving, and in the receiving there is a giving, and good expands. And I give thanks for this, and I release this word, and I know it is done. And together we say, and so it is. Thank you. Let's welcome back Andy and the group. Lift your energy, come up, because they're going to rock.